broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we broadcast live here from the El Pacifico each and every night. And behind me is the roiling surf of that beautiful Pacific. We're out on the furthest western edge of this here thing called America. We're very happy to be with you. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. This hour, we have with us the inimitable Professor Emery Clayton, a professor of urban studies at L.A. Canyon College. And Professor Clayton will be discussing with us the candidacy of Herman Cain and what exactly that represents. I can only imagine when we talk to progressive or so-called progressive or liberal people what they think of Herman Cain. It never ceases to amaze me that supposed progressive people who consider themselves liberal can always find something nasty to say. I mean, borderline racist to say about a black conservative candidate. It never fails. It never fails for at least in my experience, that when we see a black conservative candidate running for any office, so-called progressives and liberals and white progressives and white liberals find something super nasty to say about a black conservative candidate. Herman Cain is what we're going to be talking about, and there he is on our Phil TV and HD, which, by the way, Phil TV and HD is available at philhendryshow.com. If you have a backstage pass, you can watch our program as well as listen to it each and every night. And we have six shows a week, including a local show that we do here in Los Angeles, but five nights a week with you here on our radio show. You can also join us on Phil TV in HD. So get a backstage pass at philhendryshow.com. There is the gentleman in question, Mr. Herman Cain, a successful businessman, the owner-operator, a CEO, you name it, of Godfather's Pizza. Obviously a man that we're always talking about having business people running the country or business people with some savvy. I don't think that's a good idea because a businessman is by nature a man who runs a company as an autocrat. He is the guy that sets policy. He's the guy that says how it's going to be, when it's going to be, and where it's going to be. Unless, of course, it's a company that is publicly traded. But that's not exactly the kind of president you want to have. Let's bring on, though, Professor Emery Clayton. And, Professor, there is Herman Cain on our Phil TV screen. You had some rather pointed things to say about Herman Cain.
I did have very pointed things to say about Mr. Herman Cain, and I said them, Phil, to an audience, not only in a lecture hall at L.A. Canyon, but also to people that have come to see me speak on a number of occasions at Quammen Hall, which is where we do most of our political speaking, and there have been some controversial moments.
Well, I'm speaking of one in particular, and I'm talking about last Thursday night, and I have the quote right here. Rosa Parks would sit in the back of the bus had she known there'd be a guy like Herman Cain.
That is correct. I did say that, yes.
In other words, Rosa Parks wouldn't even have bothered to break down those barriers had she known that a Herman Cain would be the result.
That is exactly what I said. That is exactly what I said, yes.
And why do you say that?
Well, I don't think it needs any explanation. I think it's very obvious to all that Herman Cain is the kind of a black man that has been dying to get into the white man's club for a long time.
Oh, man. This is going to be one of those hours, huh?
Let me just finish here, Phil, before you begin your commentating. Herman Cain got into the white man's club by way of a pizza parlor. Now, an awful lot of black businessmen have to make it into the white man's closed loge club by way of these borderline businesses. If you talk about a lot of white business people, you're talking about white business people that own companies that make machinery, or they own a company that is a pharmaceutical, or they own a company that might be a bookbinding, or a company that's involved in computer parts, something that is vital. And dare I say, high-end quality. But if you talk about the emerging African-American businessman, you find pizza parlors and barbershops and this kind of nonsense, and dollar and the dollar off store, and this kind of nonsense, you know. And so it,
yeah. So what?
I'm sorry, I was speaking, and when I get done speaking,
no, we're having an interview here, though, Professor. So what?
So what? I don't think that that's what empowerment is all about. We say, so what? What do you mean? So I say to a grandchild of mine, look at how far we have come in this country. Take a look at this black businessman. He's got a dollar. He's got a dollar off store, a five and dime in an otherwise vacant mall. I don't think that that's achievement at all. Now, when I talk about Herman Cain, I'm certainly not talking about a man that has a dollar off store, or a man that's selling barrettes, or selling hair picks from a corner, from the back, from the trunk of his car. But we are talking about a man that has a substantial business. But it is a pizza parlor. It's a pizza joint. And when you talk about Herman Cain and you cut through all of the aggrandizement and the self-aggrandizement, and you cut through all of the people that, that form this sort of coterie of adulating individuals, most of them are white people, and that's fine. They call him a businessman, but really at the very heart and soul of Herman Cain is thick crust of thin. You see what I'm saying? At the very heart and soul of Herman Cain is, what kind of toppings do you want? You see, you're not talking about that. And you were talking yesterday about a young lady that's marrying this Paul McCartney, who's a former member of the Beatles. This is a young lady come from a trucking company. These are people that move freight. These are people that have large containers of vital equipment, and they move things by way of rail line. They move things by way of truck. They move things by way of ship. These are people that are involved in the transport of vital materials across the country and across the globe. That's a business. When we talk about Herman Cain, what are we talking about? Put some more Parmesan on the top of that. You see what I'm saying? So
what you're saying here is that the business that he's in just isn't good enough.
It's not just about the business. It's about the fact that we come all this way, and I just heard you talking to this man, Ted Bell, at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Now, he's got a steakhouse. A steakhouse. Now, you know, a steakhouse is about as, when it comes to food, when I was growing up, the best food you could get was a steak. You said to a man, I'd like a steak. And, man, you were talking. You were saying, I want a first-class meal. If you can get me a steak, man, I'd love that. That was always a first-class meal. So now, Ted's of Beverly Hills, a steakhouse. I'm looking at Herman Cain running for president. And what are we talking about? We're talking about a guy saying, I'm going to go down and get me a thin slice. I'm going to go down and get me a Parmesan garlic bread. I'm going to go get me a, this is not what I call an empowering business.
And look, here's a guy that's a multimillionaire, and he is a man who's worked his way into a position of running for president of the United States, and now it's not good enough. Now the business isn't good enough. Now the guy he's got too many white supporters. Now he's a conservative. This is exactly what I'm talking about, Professor. Whenever I hear people criticizing a conservative black candidate for anything, it's usually the white progressives. I know you're not white.
That is exactly right. So I'm speaking from a far, far more, I would say, knowledgeable point of view.
All right, but be that as it may, it always gets into some denigration of the man as a sellout, as an Uncle Tom, as an Oreo. He's not good enough this way, he's not good enough that way. You can't talk about what the guy stands for.
What does he stand for? You tell me, what does he stand for?
He stands for the traditional Republican issues. He stands for what Republicans stand for on those issues, empowering small businesses, getting the tax, the taxation on small businesses off their back, lowering the income tax, personal income tax and otherwise, making sure that regulations are at a minimum so that business can grow. The Republican Party has never been about anything other than making the environment, good for business. Now, on the other side of that are the Democratic, Democratic Party, and those are people who have traditionally looked out for the worker, the individual breadwinner, the individual worker who is a married man or is beginning a family or has a family, making sure that he is protected, making sure that he is empowered. So these are two parties that have always been on the opposite sides of this fence. You know, the two eyes, if you will, of America: labor and management. And I just think every time I hear about a guy like a Herman Cain or anybody.
When's the last time you heard about a Herman Cain? Now, other than Herman Cain, give me a black candidate for president of the United States like a Herman Cain. We had Barack Obama. Now, Barack Obama comes from a background as a neighborhood organizer. Comes from a political background. Now, people spit that out of their mouths like that's an ugly thing. I'm not saying that what Barack Obama did or what Barack Obama represents or what Barack Obama is. I'm not saying it's anything that I necessarily admire. I'm not saying Barack Obama's my man, you know. I'm not saying he's a great president. He's a black man, and I voted for him. But I ain't. I'm not telling you I like Barack Obama any better than I like any other candidate for president, maybe even less. So he is no great shakes, Barack Obama. And I think you find a lot of black people that think Barack Obama, I just as soon watch the ball game. You know, I just as soon see what else is on, read a book rather than listen to him or look at him. But now come Herman Cain, and I got no choice. I got to suck up to Barack Obama, because it's either that or it's Herman Cain. So the pain that you're talking about, I heard that Ted Bell talking about, the pain is definitely on my side and other people like me. Because that drives a wedge and makes us support Barack Obama, who ordinarily, after I saw the job he did over the first 2 years of his presidency, ordinarily I wouldn't spend half a second picking him up off the street if he tripped and fell down because he'd had too much to drink.
You know? All right, well, what you're getting into now is a disdain for Barack Obama that you have to ignore. Because Herman Cain's on the scene now, and you've got to stick up for Barack Obama. Why is all of this about race?
Because it's all... What do you mean, why is it all about... You want to make me... What do you mean, why is it all... It's always about race when you're black. You understand me? You know...
No, but, I mean, why can't we talk about a guy's...
Why can't we talk about a man's qualification? I'd love to talk about a man's qualification. I'm a black man, so I talk about race. I have to talk about race. Because if I don't, you will. You know...
And well, what makes you think I'm going to talk about race?
Oh, come on. Herman Cain, the reason why he's getting so much heat, if he's getting any at all, is because he's a black man that white conservatives can vote for.
All right. Well, just like Barack Obama was a black man that liberal, white liberals could vote for. You think there's any difference? You know?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of difference. I voted for Barack Obama, too, and I'm black. And the difference is I would not vote for Herman Cain. And I'm sorry I did vote for Barack Obama. I wish I would have voted for Hillary Clinton. I wish I would have voted for somebody better. Barack Obama's no damn good. He's not a good president. I don't think he's gonna get elected to a second term unless he pulls his head out of his you know what. And so I think what we've got, we're stuck with a bad president, Barack Obama. I don't like him. I don't want to vote for him. And now I have to come out and support him because of this guy Cain.
All right, let's take a break here on the Phil Henry Show with Professor Emery Clayton talking about Herman Cain not being any more representative of a positive black experience in America than Barack Obama because he owned a pizza parlor. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL is the number, and we're online at philhenryshow.com, and you can watch Phil TV in HD. Right there is a picture of Herman Cain. And we're talking about Herman Cain here with Professor Emery Clayton of L.A. Canyon College. So my original point was this. You can't see a black conservative run for president in this country without liberals getting crazy and getting into the race baiting themselves. I find white liberals to be the most hypocritical people in the world. The Aunt Jemima stuff they did with Condoleezza Rice.
Wait a second. They were simply saying that Condoleezza Rice was doing a female version of Step and Fetch It for the Bush White House. That's not racist. That is actually trying to argue against racism by saying, empower yourself, don't do Step and Fetch It.
And wait just a second. What do you mean, empower yourself? So in other words, when a liberal targets a conservative African-American, and they say, you know, you're nothing but an Oreo and Uncle Tom, Step and Fetch, however you want to put it, they're not being racist. They are pointing out something that needs to be pointed out.
Yes, absolutely. Now, on the other end of it, if I, as a liberal, I see what you... So, in other words, you think that if I point out to your audience that Herman Cain is Uncle Ben, you say I'm being racist?
Well, what's the difference? What's the difference between you saying that Herman Cain is Uncle Ben and a liberal saying that Condoleezza Rice is Aunt Jemima or is whatever the hell, a Butterfly McQueen? I mean, what is the difference?
The difference, Phil, I'm going to explain this because you're asking a question that I don't think it's a good question, but I think it is a question that will possibly confuse some people. I think it's going to confuse some people. Here's what I'm saying. Herman Cain is working a pizza stand. Now, that's not what I call a respectable living for a race of people that have tried to struggle and strive and survive in the harsh and hostile climate, economic climate of America. A guy working a pizza stand. Now, if I point out that he's working a pizza stand, and I say he's Uncle Ben, I think that is an accurate description. And
so in other words, Uncle Ben, by the way, didn't own his pizza stand. Uncle Ben was the guy, was the porter in the railroad car.
Well, what are you saying then?
If you're talking about Uncle Ben.
I'm talking about Uncle Ben converted rice is what I'm talking about. The box of Uncle Ben's converted rice.
Okay. Uncle Ben's converted rice, that character was a guy that worked as a porter on a railroad car.
So?
He didn't own the railroad?
Well, all right. All right, I understand what you're saying, you know, but I think that's chicken stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that is chicken. I wish I could say the word that I want to say, because that is nothing but chicken stuff to talk about.
What's chicken stuff about that? Herman Cain owns his own business, okay?
Herman Cain, and you belched in the middle of that word, but you said Herman Cain what?
Excuse me. Herman Cain owns his own business. Uncle Ben didn't.
All right, what about Condoleezza Rice? What business did she own? Yeah. See, she didn't own any business at all. And there she is, Step and Fetch It for George Bush.
Why do you call... You know, that's an insult. That the most grievous insult of all, to say Step and Fetch It. Like she's just running errands. Here's a young woman who is educated with a doctorate. She was an advisor to at least one or two other presidents. She is considered to be one of the foremost authorities on Russian and Eastern European affairs in the world. She was a pivotal advisor during the invasion of Iraq. She's a part of the National Security Council. Her advice is sought by people in presidents, world leaders have sought her advice. She's written books. How can you say that this is a lady who's a step and fetch it?
Well, look, you're getting into some political area now. You're talking about a woman who you just said you just about elected her queen of the whole universe. I mean, the things that you just said about her puts a guy like me or other men, particularly black men, in a very bad light.
And how's that?
Well, I have not achieved the things she's achieved. So what you've done now is you've taken a black woman and you've thrown up her achievements into my face, and now you tell me she has great achievements, and she does, but I feel like I'm about this big. And, Phil, I've got my thumb and my forefinger, not even a hair's width apart. That's how big you make me feel. So,
all right, so if I build up the reality of a black woman's achievements, that makes you feel real small. If I don't, she's Aunt Jemima.
Well, Now what you're doing is you're saying I'm not making any sense.
No, you're not making any sense. No, you're not.
I'm not making sense.
No, you're not making any sense. If you're telling me that I can't bring up the achievements of a Condoleezza Rice without making you feel you're about whatever.
I said, I'm holding my finger and my thumb about.
Okay, about the width of a hair. I'm making you feel bad, but if I don't bring those achievements up, then she's Aunt Jemima. I don't, you know, this is a silly game. We're going to be back with Professor Emery Clayton in just a moment.
You bet it's a silly game. It's a silly, silly game, and I'm losing. And I bet the house on your silly game. Oh,
Phil Hendry.
We'll be right back.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That's what I
want to
say.
All right. We're back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and with me is Professor Emery Clayton. And Professor Clayton, we're having a kind of a silly conversation, if you ask me. We're talking about the symbol of an empowered African-American, what that means to the rest of the African-American population in the United States. And isn't that something that we're trying to get away from, meaning people are individuals, they're not a monolithic voting block.
But when you say you're trying to get away from that, I don't know what you mean we're trying to get away from that.
As Americans.
Well, I mean, that sounds good in theory, that you're trying to get away from viewing black people as a monolithic voting block. But the reality is something else entirely, my friend. The reality is that we are a monolithic, not monolithic, but we are a voting block. And we are viewed as a demographic, a desirable demographic. The thing that makes me laugh is I hear a lot of black people say that we're a very, very desirable demographic. We can't get a Democrat elected unless black people support him. Well, that's all well and good. But the fact of the matter remains, black people have gone 100% sometimes with a Democratic candidate, and a Republican still gets elected. So I throw my support behind a Democrat like a Barack Obama, and he's a black man. So I'm very proud to cast my vote for a black man like Barack Obama. And I find out at the end of the day, after 2-3 years of this man being president of the United States, he's about as effective as, say, you know, a G-string in a snowstorm, you know. In other words, the man, he has not been able to affect anything. And I'm ready to throw my support behind Mitt Romney. I'm telling you the truth. I'm ready to throw my support behind a black-hating white Mormon before I vote again for Barack Obama. And along come Herman Cain. Now I got no choice. Now I got to vote for Obama again.
Boy, I got to interrupt you here. A black-hating white Mormon.
Well, that is the perception. I don't know, Phil.
Perceptions are very negative things sometimes, born of ignorance. Why would you go with a perception like that? I thought it was made abundantly clear that this is a doctrine of the Mormon faith that they no longer consider to be a part of their faith, that it is no longer the truth, that it is that it was revealed to the elders, I guess.
What, it was revealed to the elders of black people, that we're not, that they burnt cork, that I didn't get cast down into the flame and get cooked and singed and, you know, Mormons believe, Phil, and just consider this, Mormons believe that I was held over an open flame. I'm like a roasted mushroom, what do you call it, a marshmallow or something. Now, you may find that funny. And
I don't find it funny, no.
I don't find it funny either, and it's nothing to teach young black people that we're like everybody else, but we got slow roasted. We're like everybody else, but somebody decided to stick us on a spit and slap a little bit of barbecue sauce and brown us up. You're not laughing, are you?
No, I'm not laughing.
Why not? I mean, I thought I was getting off some pretty good ones.
I'm not laughing. I don't think that's funny at all. I don't think the image of that is funny at all.
Well, that's the first for me. I was going to say that we're like Smokey Links. That's not...
No, that's not funny. What are you doing? Are you doing jokes?
I thought it was funny to say that Mormons think we're Smokey Links. That's not funny.
No, that's not funny to me. I'd like to get back to the point of what we're discussing here, which is Herman Cain, his candidacy. You're against it because originally you said you're against it because the guy is a pizza parlor operator, which is a highly simplistic way of gives the man no respect and no credit for what he's been able to develop in his life and build in his life. But okay, you say that what he did for a living, what he does for a living, how he made his millions is not respectable enough, that white people have more respectable businesses.
Well, and I stand by that, Phil. I stand by that. I mean, you're not going to get me to tell you or anybody else that I'm proud. Here comes a black man, and how did he make his money but a pizza parlor? I'm glad he made his money, but I'd like to see black people making their money owning automobile manufacturing plants, owning pharmaceutical companies.
Black people own those companies, too. This man here...
Oh, do they now? Why don't you tell me the names of those people?
Well, I don't know offhand. I do know that in the history, certainly in the latter half of the 20th century, there's been all kinds of expansion of African-American business interests into many high-end industries. I'm not going to get into a deep and heavy discussion with you about it right now. Besides, you're the guy that wants to talk about black people being smoky links and on a spit and being barbecued and all this stuff.
That's the way the Mormons look at us. And if I can get back to the point that I was making...
No, that's not the way the Mormons look at you. That's not the way they claim they look at black people now. Now, we can continue this slander, and...
What slander?
Well, we can continue to misrepresent the Mormon faith if they say in good conscience and in truthfulness that that is not the doctrine of their church anymore, then I think we ought to accept that. Now, maybe it was, but it's religion. It's not science. It's religion. It's not... it's not necessarily the hard and fast philosophies of Kant or Nietzsche or Plato or Socrates. It's religion, and religion is the most malleable of all philosophies. It's the one. It's the one philosophy that should change as society changes and as people change.
Well, I would love to hear you say that to the Jewish people. Why don't you tell them, hey, someday you ain't just going to be monotheistic. I think you're going to be have two, three different gods. I don't think you can say that, Phil. And the reason why I brought up this Cain and the Mormon faith is I would rather have voted for Mitt Romney. I was saying something good, that I would rather vote for Mitt Romney than vote for Barack Obama one more time. But now that Herman Cain is on the scene, I'm forced to go back into the polling booth. And I'm forced to do something I never thought I'd have to do again, and that's vote for Barack Obama. And I'm going to have to vote for Barack Obama now, because there's another black candidate. People are going to ask, well, which black man are you supporting?
Why don't you tell them neither?
I can't. What do you mean, tell them? I can't do that. I can't stand in front of my students and say I'm not supporting either. I think what I'll do is, what, Ralph Nader? You know, I did that one year. I ignored Jesse Jackson. I ignored Al Sharpton. I ignored Julian Barnes, and I went ahead and I voted for Ralph Nader, and I found out to my everlasting regret, and this was something, Phil, that I found out that Ralph Nader is nothing more than a wonky-eyed freak wearing a suit that he probably hasn't had cleaned in years, and I never combed his hair, wonky-eyed, weird-ass. I'm not kidding.
So you've laid down some pretty bad votes in your time.
I have. I've cast some bad votes. Yes, I have. And I intend not to do that this time.
Well, with Herman Cain, you're going to have to. You're going to have to vote now for Barack Obama.
I'm hoping that Cain gets muscled out of this race. I'm hoping that Cain gets muscled out. And that it is. And I think it will be Mitt Romney. I have no doubt that it'll be Mitt Romney.
You going to vote for him?
I would vote for Mitt Romney before I voted for Barack Obama.
Now, that is a pretty wild thing to say for a liberal African-American college professor to say you're going to vote for Mitt Romney.
You know, Phil, we are not all, as I said, you like to think of black people as a monolithic voting bloc. We are not all out of the same cookie cutter. I'm a man, all right? First, last, and always, I'm a man. I'm my own man. I'm not anybody else. And I'm going to vote for Mitt Romney if this guy Herman Cain gets muscled out. But if Herman Cain's still hanging around, I'm going to have to hold my nose and vote for Obama again. And I'll tell you, I don't know what that's going to do. That could kill me. I mean it. I'm telling you true. That could kill me.
If you have to vote for Obama again.
Yes. And by that, I mean a heart attack. I may walk out of the booth, and that may be it. Because the listen, this country's gone to hell in a handcart with Obama at the helm. And I hate to say that about another black man, especially the very first black president we've ever had. But...
Well, I certainly don't think that that's going to happen. I think, I have a far more sympathetic view of Barack Obama than you have. I think he's... I don't think he's been at all a man with ill intent. I think he's tried, and I think that some of his policies have just been the victim of the times, the people, the American people themselves are not really sure in which direction we should go. So
you think this man Obama would make a good president someday?
I think given another term, yeah, but you know what? I don't know that he deserves another term either. I don't. It's just that's the way the game is played.
Well, I'll tell you what right now. I don't think he does either. But if Herman Cain keeps on running his pizza, he keeps running that pizza mouth.
All right, well, the best of luck to you, professor at school, and we'll have you on as this election continues.
Well, the election, what do you mean the election continues? You mean the campaign?
As the campaign continues.
Well, I might be busy.
Well, I'll call and see if you're available.
Yeah, you do that. Check with my
secretary?
Yeah.
We'll do it. All right, thank you very much. I might be busy. There is Professor Emory Clayton. Didn't he say some interesting things there?
Yeah, he said he'd vote for Mitt Romney, even though he's black.
Yeah, I think that's into the Mitt Romney Mormon, you know.
Yeah, and that he would vote for him.
Well, didn't you hear what I just got done saying to the guy? I just said to him, I said, why do people keep thinking that Mormons believe that black people are the mud people or the burnt cork people or whatever the hell they... You know, the doctrine of the church was changed, and that's just all there is to that. You know, the Mormon faith is not that old. It's only about 100-some-odd years old from the time that Joseph Smith found the books buried underneath the rocks up in... I mean, it's pretty out there. There's no question about it. The Mormon faith is just as out there as Nation of Islam, which believes in that big-headed scientist...
Oh, yeah, that Yaqub.
Yaqub, what did he do?
He's the guy that made white people.
Yeah, he crossbreeded, like, lower black, or paint, or...
Shut up, man, I'll do it. He crossbreeded some light-skinned black and got a white man.
Ah, that's it. He crossbred some light-skinned blacks and got a white man. And Yaqub was a mad scientist. And what did they do with Yaqub?
I don't know. I forget.
That's a great one, too. That's a great philosophy, too. And you know what blows my mind? You take that Yaqub jazz from the Nation of Islam, then you take this cat finding books buried under a pile of rocks in upstate New York, and that's okay, you know, whatever. And then you take this Scientology with the man from outer space that they believe in, and all religions have one thing in common. No matter how ridiculous, no matter how asinine, no matter how much their essential philosophy challenges not only your credulity... Not only your ability to believe this horse dung, but it challenges you to keep a straight face, okay? No matter how dumb these philosophies are that challenge you to keep a straight face and not laugh your ass off the minute you hear what their philosophy is all about, but you're supposed to take them serious, and if you don't, they get really upset, you know?
Yeah, it's like they want to kick your ass.
Yeah, like Nation of Islam, man, they beat your ass up.
Nation of Islam will beat your ass up. Scientologists will beat your ass up. You know, or who's the other one? The Mormons? The Mormons? Good Lord. They had that posse. Remember that posse they had? They made a movie about it. What were they called? I don't know.
I think it's called like the Mormon Posse or something.
The Mormon Posse. I don't know. But they had a bunch of hired gunmen. I think it was like the bodyguard for Joseph, or what's the guy, Brigham Young.
Is that the school, right?
Well, that's what they named the school after the guy.
Oh.
Brigham Young, and he had these this posse of dudes that at his beck and call they'd go out and just, you know, slaughter people. And that slaughter that took place in 1856, was it 1856? You look it up. It happened on, believe it or not, September the 11th. So that date, 9/11, is a bad, bad day, man, in American history. That's like, if America has unlucky numbers, those are the numbers, 9 and 11. Because on 9/11/2001, we had the terror attacks. On 9/11/1856, I don't know how many people were slaughtered in cold blood by this Mormon posse. And I don't mean, you know, I'm just telling you, you know, I'm not trying to defame anybody, but I mean, it's what happened, so.
How can we call it 911 then? We got to change the number on that.
Yeah.
Your emergency number?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Maybe that's why the system gets overloaded. It's just an unlucky number. Let's use a different number.
You could use, like, what, 511 or something?
I don't know, 511. 611 is, 411 is information. 611 is to get your phone fixed. 311 is,
But you said it wasn't Canada.
Canada's 911, ain't it? Yeah, Canada's 911. England is 999. I don't know. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, our news and information hour coming up, and Bud and Robert will have a... You guys got another debate coming up, right?
Yeah, it's on Mormons.
Oh boy, you guys are going to OD on the debates, man. When's this iron swine coming up? That's what I want to hear. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and I pull up here on Phil TV and HD. This is a book that was written about this Mountain Meadow Massacre called American Massacre. It was written by Sally Denton. It was actually September the 11th, 1857, and it was 140 people in a wagon train that was carrying gold that was attacked. And 140 people were slaughtered, I should say. I don't know how many people were actually in the wagon train. 17 children under the age of 8 were spared. It's called the incident in an open field called Mountain Meadows has ever since been the focus of passionate debate. Is it possible that official Mormon dignitaries were responsible for the massacre? In a riveting book, Sally Denton makes a fiercely convincing argument that they were.
Yeah, it says she's Mormon and everything, too.
She's of Mormon descent, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. And so I don't bring that up to be a jackball. I don't bring that up to say, see, Mormons suck. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, if anything, you know, when I was talking to Professor Clayton.
Yeah, you were like saying Mormons, they don't believe black people were singed.
Yeah.
Black people were singed?
Ain't that what they believed?
I don't know. Robert, do you know?
Why would I know? You said Mormon people singed, not Mormon people, you said Mormon people believe black people got singed.
Yeah, like they got slightly singed, or slightly, just very lightly browned.
Lightly browned.
Ain't that what you said?
No, I didn't say that. I don't know what they believe. I thought they believed that black people were Cain's descendants.
Yeah, that's it.
And that that what they used to believe was that black people were Cain's descendants. And that Cain, you know, was a piece of dirt because he killed his brother Abel. And then they all, you know, and Cain's descendants all got darker and more, you know, lightly tanned. I don't know. But nonetheless.
Maybe Cain was black.
Yeah.
Maybe Cain was black. Okay. Maybe the whole family was black. You ever thought about that?
How's that possible?
What do you mean, how's that possible? What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, if Cain's descendants was black, but the whole Adam and Eve family was black, then what's the difference between Cain's people and Abel people?
Yeah, I think that maybe Cain was born and he was black, and that kind of caused a rift in the family, like there was a hassle.
Well, why would there be a hassle? One black kid and everybody else is white?
Yeah, they were racially discriminating against him.
Yeah.
In a family?
Yeah.
Okay, so the kids are born, Adam's white, Eve's white, Cain's white.
No.
I mean, I'm sorry. Cain's black, but Abel's white.
Yeah.
But Cain's black. And they racially discriminate against Cain until he decides to clobber Abel.
I think, yeah, he got pissed off.
Oh, get out of here, will you guys? I'm telling you. This is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. The screwiest, goofiest ideas that run contrary to any kind of science are embraced by these religions, and these religions are no older than our country. In some cases, in the Mormon, the case of the Mormon faith, it's not even as old as America. And okay, so you believe this, that, and something else. Good for you. Fine. Not a problem. But here's an example of what happened to the Mormons at that particular time. And this is what is really sad about the president that preceded Abraham Lincoln. And because I read this biography of James Buchanan, I was fascinated. I was like, oh, James Buchanan, now what the hell? This is the guy that was there before Lincoln. What happened to him? How did the country spin out of control? James Buchanan was a Southern sympathizer, even though he was from Pennsylvania. Oh, and by the way, folks, never has a guy run for president who had more credentials. If you want job qualifications, which is the stupidest thing when it comes to presidents you could ever talk about, James Buchanan had more qualifications. Man, he'd been a senator, he'd been a congressman, he'd been an ambassador, he'd been a member of the cabinet. He'd done it all. Now along comes this guy, and he's the very president that didn't lift his finger to save the United States, James Buchanan. When the Confederates were going to take Fort Sumter, he said, I have no constitutional authority to interfere in what these states want to do. And yet, rewind to 1857, he sent federal troops into Utah, and he said, okay, what's going on here? Well, we're Mormons. Are you, really? Is that what you are? Well, this is a territory of the United States. You can take this guy, Brigham Young, stick him up your you-know-what. All the rest of you people, you can do whatever you want. But this is American territory, and we're going to have American law. So he enforced the federal rule in Utah when the Mormons there, with all due respect, were getting out of control.
What, did he kick Brigham Young's ass?
He didn't kick Brigham Young's ass, but he basically said, you know, the party's over, baby. Let's, you know, put your underwear away, clean this place up, put your toys back in the box. There's dishes that need to be done. You know, we'll be back with our news and information hour of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and our debate between Bud and Robert, whatever that's going to be.
Hendry.